The bride of Christ. she. I wish I had her habits.
You got her?
I got more than enough.
Come on now. Come on.
Give her a big hand as she comes. Back to my kids, guys.
Remain confident in your faith. See, if we keep reciting, then we'll remember. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So we need to understand that we don't say something just one time and think we're going to get it in our spirit or think we're going to believe it. We don't. Amen? Amen. You want to know how we know that? Well, let's check some facts here. Remember when you were a little kid? Well, excuse me. Remember when you were a child?
Amen.
Some of us was taught a couple of prayers. The first prayer we was taught was when we was able to eat. We gave thanks. We said, God is grace. God is good. Let us thank you for our food. Amen. Remember that prayer, right? When we were first taught that prayer, did we remember it the first time?
No.
We had to keep reciting it in order to remember it, right?
Right.
Okay. And remember the second prayer you were taught as a child. When it was time to go to bed, what we said? Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. God bless mommy and daddy and my brothers and my sister and my grandma and my teacher and the man down the street and the mailman.
That's a lot,
Lord. Remember, we were taught at a very early age to give thanks, to pray for our soul, and to pray for others that were in our lives.
Right.
Amen?
Amen?
That's what we were taught at a very young age. So we have been communicating with God since we were able to recite, remember, and repeat. We had to learn to recite it, and then we had to learn to remember it, and then we had to repeat it. Remember last week I was telling you I had to continually repeat our speeches over and over and over again to my mother because she wanted to make sure that it was perfect. The same thing is with the Word of God. We have to remember to recite our prayers, remember our prayers, repeat our prayers. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. So as children, we learned at an early age to have a communication with the Father. And guess what prayer is? Communication with the Father. That's all it is.
Make it easy.
See how simple that is? Let me remind you of the simplicity. Last week we talked about Psalms 119, the Word of God being, and I'm paraphrasing, a lamp to our feet and a path. Amen? Okay, I'm going to go there. Just for remembrance purposes, sometimes we have to recite, remember, and repeat. Amen?
Amen.
So it says in Psalms 119, 105, the Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. That's the Word of God. Amen? Amen. And then if you go over there, it says in verse 130, it says, the unfolding of thy words give light. It gives understanding to the simple. Just that easy and just that simple. Amen?
Amen.
And then over at Proverbs, verse 4 and 7, confirming that, it says, the beginning of wisdom is acquired wisdom, and with all your acquiring, get an understanding. Wisdom is supreme. I mean, wisdom was in the beginning. When God was creating and forming the earth, wisdom was there.
Yeah.
Because The Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost was thinking about it and saying, how can we outdo ourselves? We done created the heavens and the earth and the fowls and the fields and the leaves and the dead. We done created everything. How can we cap that? How about we create man in our image? Oh my goodness.
Come on.
Talk about wisdom there. Woo! Now that's wisdom.
Okay.
That's wisdom, right? Because he saw in his infinite wisdom that he would create his precious, precious being. And that is us, mankind. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Now, in what we had learned as a child, and the word, and knowing the word of God, Proverbs 22:6 says, as we remember our children. See, a lot of times, us as parents, we forget what we used to do.
Yeah.
We forget that we were children at one time. We forget that our children are probably going to go just about the same things that we go through.
Yeah.
We forget that. But the Word of God reminds us, and it says, it says, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. So, those prayers that we got when we were children, remembering to bless our food, remember to say our prayers, because it's, and think about those prayers that we gave our children, how it resonates in our lives today. Meaning, tomorrow is not promised to us. So, in our prayers as a child, we said, if I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul today. That was our prayer as a child. See how simple it was? As we get older, we complicate things. And we don't have to. We have to remember, keep it simple, saints. The acronym for KISS. Because that's what it is. He didn't make it hard. He didn't make it hard for us. We create it. We live in it. We endure it. Amen.
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 All right.
Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. So we've lost our communication or our remembrance to communicate with the Lord, with our Father. Amen?
Yeah.
But I want you to know what communicating with God is. It is prayer. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. And it is power in prayer.
Amen.
Now, let me get you to understand, it's not the prayer, the person that's praying. It's not even the person that's receiving the prayer. It is the faith and the belief,
okay,
of that prayer.
Okay.
That's what gives it power. When they say there's power in prayer, yes, it is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Your faith and your belief in that prayer is the power.
Yeah.
Do not underestimate who you are and whose you are in prayer.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. Now, you know that answered prayers do never comes at the time we want them.
Come on.
Not to admit, but it's not to say that your prayers aren't being answered. We have to understand that there is a time and a place for everything that's happening in your life. You keep your faith. You keep your prayer life. That is what's going to usher you into the eternal life, is what you're doing today with your life. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Right. Now, okay, so we have to understand that our answered prayers is not going to be answered at the time that we want. How do we know that? Well, let's look at David. The book of Psalms is always talking about singing, praising, and prayer. Amen? Yeah. So we are praying for wisdom. We're praying for deliverance. We're praying for protection. We're praying for peace. We're praying for strength. We're praying for endurance. We're praying for patience. We'll get that next weekend. We are praying, but the Psalms talks about our prayers. Talks about how we are to pray, and now we are to believe in that. And David is an intricate because David was always praying. He was always praying. I think that's probably why he was the apple of God's eye. Don't y'all feel like that?
Yeah.
You feel like you're the apple of God's eye. I know I do. Every time I wake up and look in the mirror, I was like, I am your. I am the apple of your eye. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I am the apple of your eye. Get that in your spirit. Get that in your spirit. Because when Jesus was down on the earth, and I'm jumping, but I'm going to come back to David. When Jesus was down on this earth, he had to be one place at one time. He's at one place at one time. But now that he has ascended up to heaven, guess what? He's here. In here, he's over there at that other church. Yeah, he's down the street at the other church. Yeah. He's over there in the prisons. He's over there in the desert. He's everywhere.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen? Amen. So he can be in my house looking at me while he's at your house looking at you too. Okay? Okay. Now, let's go back to David. So David is a prayer warrior. He is a prayer warrior. And whatever he prayed, he believed in that. 1 Samuel chapter 21. Now, he has already got the commission and he's trying to be a good servant to Saul. However, Saul is like, I'm not feeling him. But remember, like I said last week, Saul was of flesh.
Yeah.
And David was of faith. So David prayed this prayer in Psalms chapter 34 of awaiting his prayers to be answered.
Yeah.
He needed to be delivered out of the hands of the enemy. But he prayed the prayer with confidence, knowing that it was going to be answered. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. As growing up as a child, I was in praise mode. Then you learn how to get into the prayer mode when you do your daily prayers for grace.
Right.
And then I got into the worldly mode.
Yeah, hold on.
We've all been there. Been there, done that, got the t-shirt. Gotcha. Right. But guess what? What I know is that somebody prayed for every one of us.
Yeah.
Somebody prayed for every one of us. Every single one of us, somebody prayed for us. Whether it was our mother, our grandmother, our father, our grandfather, sister, brother, somebody prayed for us. When I was in my mother, I'm so glad that I was prayed for. I'm so glad my mother prayed for me. Hallelujah, 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 Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Mom, for praying for me. Because I wasn't strong enough to pray for myself. Y'all remember that?
Yeah.
So you remember when you're going through something and you're too weak because you're going through it. You're so weak, you're going through it. But what he is going to do is put somebody in your life that's going to pray for you.
Yeah.
That's going to pray with you.
Yeah.
Trusting and believing that he is going to answer that prayer. That is the power of prayer. Amen?
Amen.
Are we glad that we had praying warriors? So David is being delivered out of the hands of the Philistines and Saul. But that was his prayer being answered. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. After he had gone through what he had gone through in 1 Samuel, and you know, David did some things. But don't it feel good? Because you know that David's faith and his belief in Christ did not change who he was in Christ. Which means your faith still gonna battle with your flesh. Because everything that David did, he did in the flesh. When he did wrong, he was in the flesh. You know, when he sent, you know, what's his name down there on the front lines.
Yeah.
That was in his flesh. Because he wanted that beautiful woman. That was in the flesh.
Yeah.
You know, he was in his flesh. But that still didn't deter his faith.
Amen.
You got to remember, we will get in the flesh because that's what we're born of, the flesh.
Right.
Unfortunately, we wasn't born in the spirit. We were born in the flesh. So, because we're born in the flesh, that's going to raise up every time.
Yeah.
That's going to go against your faith every time. But as David did, stand strong.
Yeah.
Stand strong. None of us are perfect. Every day it is a battle. Every day it's a battle. But let's keep pressing. Remember, you know I don't want to tell you, it is a lesson in your pressing.
Yes, it is.
So let's keep pressing. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So, and see, because David did some things that God just wasn't going to forgive. There are some things he just was not going to forgive what he had done. You like that story? It's in the Word of God. Go ahead and pick it up. It's a good read. I'm telling you, it's a good read. Y'all know, there's some things in the Bible be like, what? Yeah, just like, you know, Real Housewives of Atlanta is in the book. It is in the book. Okay, set it off. It's in the book.
Okay.
It is in the book. I'm telling you, it's a training day. It's in the book.
Yeah.
In the book.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, life's circle is in the book.
Yeah.
It's a good read.
Yeah.
It's a good read.
Yeah.
But there's some things, amen. But there's some things that David had done in his past that God could just not forgive him for. Just couldn't do it. So there were some things, I'm sorry. It wasn't that he couldn't forgive him. It was some things that he could not do because of what he had done.
That's
a better way to put it, right? Because of some things that he had done in his past, it hindered him for doing what he wanted to do for the Lord.
Right.
So the Lord said, you know what? I understand. I get it. You in your flesh. I got that. However, you can't build that temple for me. I'm sorry. You just can't do it.
Right.
You just can't do it. Why? Because you got death on your hands. God still will not have anything unclean when it comes to his word. That means our mind, our heart, and our spirit. Not saying that we are perfect, but we got to be lined up with God.
Amen?
Amen? That's just like the priests back in the Old Testament days. They really had, I don't know, on that Day of Atonement, but when they were going in to pray for other people, that had to be some serious stress there. Some serious stress. You couldn't have a bad thought in your mind. You couldn't think about nothing bad. Can you imagine me going to pray for you guys after I was on the freeway? Mm-mm. No. He was going to take me. He was going to take me on.
Because
I know I had a couple of thoughts on the way today on the freeway. See, Lord Jesus. Help me, Father. Couldn't be a priest. Mm-mm. No. But that's what they had to go through. And you can't have bad blood on your hands and expect to represent the people of God when you go to God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So David told his son, Solomon, build the temple for our Lord because I can't do it. You build the temple. Solomon is just like David. He loves the Lord. However, Solomon has some issues too. But you know what? I won't get to that until first I talk about what Solomon asked for. Solomon is getting ready to be king. And David prepared him. And he asked, and in him preparing for kingship, God went to Solomon and 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 7. God went to Solomon and he said, he asked Solomon, he said, thou hast dealt with, verse 7. And that night God appeared to Solomon and asked him, and said to him, ask what I shall give you. God went to Solomon. And then in verse 10 it says, give me wisdom and knowledge that I may go out and come in before this people, for who can rule this great people of thine? In other words, who can do this? I need knowledge and wisdom to rule your people, God.
Right. Amen.
I can't do this on my own.
Yeah.
I can't rely on my own knowledge and my own wisdom. I'll fall short every single time. But God, you bless me with knowledge and wisdom so that I can rule your people. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So then, I was like, is that all? That's all you want from me? God says, in verse 10 and 11, he asked for the wisdom and he blessed him. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So God said, if that's all you want, I'm going to give you knowledge. I'm going to give you wisdom. I'm going to give you land. I'm going to give you jewelry. I'm going to give you gold. I'm going to give you any and everything in this land you want. You don't even have to ask. I'm just going to give it to you. Why? Because you asked to be blessed. You asked me to bless you, to bless my people. We are to be used, people. Beloved, we are to be used to be a blessing to others. God is blessing us every single day. Do you think he wants us to keep it in? No. He wants us to give it away. If you give it away, okay, my hand is balled up in a fist. If I keep my hand in this fist, if I keep my blessing in this fist, guess what? There is nothing coming out, but there is nothing coming in. I have nothing. You have to give it away. That's the only way you'll be able to get blessed over and over and over and over again. Things that you didn't even think you were going to be blessed by. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. So after Solomon asked for all that good stuff and the only two things that was relevant to him, God blessed him with others. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So then he got the temple already in 2 Chronicles 6 and 14 and 15. Got the temple already and prayed to dedicate the temple back to God. And Solomon was like, Lord, you know, everything that you promised my father, you've given to me. And I'm so grateful when I offer this temple back up to you. And lo and behold, right after all of that happened, getting the temple ready to praise and worship God, to put him first, to keep his statutes, to keep his precepts. Lo and behold, wouldn't you know, they went right back, and I'm speaking about the Israelites, they went back to doing what they were doing again.
Yeah.
They went right back to it. Now, we done went through all of this, and you mean to tell me we're going to go right back to this again? So, I was like, look, I don't know what to say about y'all right now, but I am going to tell you this. 14 says, chapter 7, verse 14 says, and my people who are called by my name.
Come on now.
If you don't humble yourselves, seek my face, I'm paraphrasing, pray, turn from your wicked ways, then you'll hear from me.
Yeah.
Then I will heal your land. Now look at it, that's what he was talking about in the Old Testament, but what's your land today? Your land today is your walk. Is my walk in Christ. This is my land. Wherever I go, whatever I step on is my land. I have to humble myself. We have to humble ourselves. It's talked about it in the Old Testament, but we got to live it in the new. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Now, that was David and Solomon. Prayer your prayer of faith and believing who you are and whose you are. Another awesome example is Daniel. Daniel was an awesome example of his prayer and his faith and believing who he was and who he was serving. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So Daniel chapter 6 talks about this new king that's on the scene, King Darius. And some people trying to get rid of Daniel, because Daniel didn't let anybody block his praise. Beloved, let me tell you, don't let nobody block your praise or your prayer. Don't let nobody block your praise or your prayer. If you getting ready, if you say, okay, at 7:30, I'm going to pray every day at this particular time. I'm going to offer up praise and then I'm going to pray. You know, you do know that time that you set aside for that, you do know the enemy heard you too.
Yeah.
The enemy, which is the enemy, heard you too, and gonna come up with some kind of reason why you should not be praising and praying at that particular time that you set aside, because you know that was that particular time I got to myself. I didn't pray. For 15 minutes. I got 7:30, 7:45. Yep, I got 15 minutes. I'm going to get it in. And lo and behold, all kinds of distractions come.
Yeah.
Your phone going off. Mm-hmm. The Facebook ding chime is going off.
Yeah.
That's annoying. All of that, everything, or, you know, your boss done called you, or your children done came running in, right, knowing that you told everybody that you didn't want to be disturbed at this particular time. This is your time that you have set aside for your meditation. And you didn't want to be disturbed. But guess what? Distractions will come into your life and try to get you off the path that you have designated to follow Christ. If you do not stay on your task, to stay on your focus, you will get distracted. And you're going to have to go all the way around the block when you could have just went right up the street.
All right.
And I say this because I've been there, done that, got the t-shirt.
Yeah.
Stay focused. And your prayer and your praise life. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. So, Daniel, he was praying at a specific time. Every day, and that's what he wanted, and that's what he did. He had his window open, didn't care who seen it, didn't care who heard it.
Yeah.
But there's always going to be some naysayers in your world that's not going to be happy with your praise and your prayer life. Haters are going to hate. And guess what you do? Let them keep hating. Let them keep hating. Because what God has for you, can't nobody take away anyway.
Right.
So don't worry about it. You're doing what you're doing for Christ because you are concerned about your soul, your spirit, and your eternity. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So they had some people. So King Darius had some imps who didn't care about Daniel's praise and his prayer life. So they wanted to say, God, King Darius, put a decree in. Anybody that's praying to their gods, not praying to the idols, they should be killed. They should be thrown into the lion's den. He was like, Darius like, yeah, let's make a decree about it. Let's sign it and seal it. And when they made the decrees, they had an insignia ring. And once they put that insignia ring on it, it was a decree, and it couldn't be repealed.
Yeah.
Like the ACA. So, and so, the King Darius was like, okay, I'm going to do that. However, because Daniel, who he was, he revered God, but he revered those that were in authority over him.
Right.
Beloved, remember those that are in authority over you? Pray for them.
Amen.
Pray for them that are in authority over you. That's what we're supposed to do as born-again believers. Because I'm telling you, prayer changes. It changes. I used to pray, I was like, Lord, why is my superiors, they hounding me, I'm trying my best, I'm doing my best, they hounding me. Lord, and I was praying, and understand something, my prayer wasn't, why are they doing this to me? Because I knew why, because who I was. My prayer wasn't, can you get them off of me? Mm-mm. I didn't want that. I'm not praying for hurt and harm to come to anybody, you know. But my prayer was, you know, I didn't think it was an effective prayer. Now that I think about it, it wasn't effective because I didn't have the faith and believe that God could change it. See, I was praying for God to give me the strength to change. Y'all prayed for that before? Y'all done prayed that? The prayer is all out of order anyway. Why are we praying to God to give us the strength to change our situation? That's saying that we don't have any faith or belief in our God or the situation. We don't have any faith or belief knowing that He is bigger than our situation and our circumstances.
Right, amen.
But we want God, give me strength to handle my stuff. No, I don't even want it. I prayed like that. I was like, why they all on me? Give it to me, Lord. I just want to smack them in the face with it. See, that's why He can't give it to us. Because we wouldn't do right when we were praying. The prayer wasn't even right. It was out of order. It was not decent and in order. Because I wanted to do it my way. But I'm praying to God, give me strength to do it my way. How out of order is that? Out of order. However, he was able to bring to remembrance, thank you, Holy Ghost, to bring to remembrance that I am still God and I'm still in control of your situation. So what is it that you need again? Lord, I need you to give me the peace while I'm going through what I'm going through. Oh, okay, I thought that's what you prayed for. See, this is how the conversation that me and my God be having. I don't know, you guys been there?
Yes.
We have had some conversations, boy.
Yes,
I tell you.
Yes, Lord.
So, Daniel is doing his prayer diligent, fervent, righteous, all of that. And Darius, King Darius, M's wants to have him thrown into the lion's den. Now, King Darius, he was a man of, they worshiped idols back then and then, you know. However, he did recognize that Daniel's God, the living God, he was that deal.
Mm-hmm.
He did recognize that.
Mm-hmm.
He even gave reference to it. Amen? Amen. In Daniel 6, chapter 10, I'm sorry, chapter 6, verses 16b, King Darius says, okay, I got to throw you in the den because my imps made me do the decree and I can't repeal it. So I got to throw you in there, but may your God, who you pray to every day, give you protection. See, he had reverence for his God. And he didn't even serve him. He didn't serve him, but he gave reverence to him. Amen? And then if you drop down to verses 20 to 22, all night long, I think King Darius probably was praying to him. Praying to that God that he didn't know. That he would live. Because when that next day when he got up, he's like, Daniel, did the God that you've been serving all this time, did he protect you out of the mouths of the lion's den? And Daniel said, King, give reverence to those in authority over you. King, whom I've been serving, he has protected me. Why he's protected me? Because I haven't done anything wrong. I didn't do anything wrong to you. I didn't do anything wrong to the countrymen. I didn't do anything wrong. This is what I've always been doing. And I have been giving my Lord the honor, the praise, and the glory through prayer. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise, because that's what we do. In order for your prayer to be effective, it should have reverence, thanksgiving, forgiveness, specific, full of faith and belief. That's an effective prayer. Amen? Amen. Even so, when Jesus came on the scene, he even told his disciples. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 15, he goes into an instruction, telling his disciples on how to pray. That is an effective prayer. He gave reverence. He gave thanksgiving. He asked for forgiveness for himself and for those who had did something to him. Asked for protection, and he closed it out with reverence again. That's an effective prayer. Amen. We don't go in and say, Lord, I need $2,500 because I want to put down this down payment on this car, on this house. I want to go to Cancun with my husband. Bless me, Lord, with this money. Nope. I haven't given reverence. I haven't given thankfulness. I didn't ask for forgiveness. There's no protection. I didn't ask for protection. And I didn't give reverence. When we are praying, remember, it's not about asking him what you want. Yeah. He already knows it. He already knows what you need of. Remember, Matthew chapter 6? Stop worrying because he knows what you need. Amen? Yeah. Amen. But see, but if you're going to pray now, make sure it's bold. Bold in your prayer. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 12. Ask, seek, knock. Be bold about it. Be specific about it. Know in your prayer life what you want from God to bless you with. And it's not always about being material. Lord, I need you to bless me on a daily basis with knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. That's daily. And when I'm praying for others, I'm asking the Lord to bless them to make wise decisions. Because if you make wise decisions, guess what? Your decisions are lining up with Christ. That's what are we to ask for on a daily basis. Amen? Amen. And we should pray for our enemies. Yep, we should. Yep. So in Luke chapter 18, 1 through 14, this is your prayer. This is Jesus sharing with you about how to be persistent in your prayer. He told his disciples, pray and never give up. Don't give up on your prayer, whether your prayer life, whether it come in the time that you want to or not. Don't give up. Stay persistent with it. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Now, Matthew chapter 26, verses 36 to 46. Jesus is getting ready to be offered up. But he goes in to the Garden of Gethsemane. And this is where he is totally human and divine simultaneously. At the same time. Because now he's already frustrated because his disciples hadn't got it yet.
Yeah.
He's already frustrated because they're still moving in faith. I mean flesh and not in faith. When he'd been teaching them all along, he's already frustrated. And then he tell them, stay and watch for an hour. The time is coming. I need you. What he wants them to do is to get endurance. Have some endurance. But they didn't have it. So he's like, okay, Lord. I did everything. I tried everything. Look, if you can take this cup from me, I would be more than happy for you to take this cup from me. Totally human. And not even, but if it's your will, let it be done. Totally divine and spiritual. That's what he wants. He wants us to understand that this flesh has to die daily, as Paul would say. Amen? And we have to continue to be in the spirit.
Yeah.
That is studying the word of God, asking for knowledge, wisdom, understanding, and making this your insurance policy so that you can apply it to your life. That is what we are to do. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So, chapter 15, 1 through 8, it is talking about praying, having confidence. Jesus had confidence. Yeah. Why? Because he was divine, and we're the branches. You cannot have life. A branch cannot survive if it's not connected.
Come on now.
And Jesus is saying, you better stay connected to me. Because any life without me is lifeless. So, you're the branches. We are the branches. Let's stay connected to him. Amen?
Amen.
John chapter 17. John chapter 17. Now, I told you in Matthew 26, he's in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's getting ready to be offered up. But in John chapter 17, this is where Jesus specifically prays for himself. He was like, look, Father, you sent me down here. I came and did what I was supposed to do. I want to come back home. I need to go back to glory. So glorify me as I have glorified you. Then he prayed for his disciples. And he said, I have taught them everything that you would have them to learn. This is what they need to know. I have done your assignment. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And then after he had prayed for the disciples, then he prayed for all the rest of us. And that is John chapter 17, verse 20. I do not ask in behalf of this alone, but for those also who believe in me through their word. That is through the disciples giving them the information. Amen?
Yes.
Preaching the word of God. That they may all be one. Corporate anointing.
Yeah.
Come on now.
Even as thou, Father, art in me, and I am him, and I in thee, which is in the Father, that they also may be in us. Corporate anointing. Right. Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
You be into, if they are into one another, then we are to be in him. Amen?
Amen.
One body. One anointing. Amen?
Come on now.
That the world may believe that thou didst send me. So if we're all being one body, if we are, and this was his prayer for even the believers, the born again believers, that we are to be and remain in him. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And then we talk about Paul. Paul prays throughout every book in the epistles. He opens up in prayer. Prayer of thanksgiving. He's glad because Paul is establishing the early church after his conversion. He's establishing the early church. And it is his prayer that all of us will come together and be able to be representatives of Christ. Amen? Amen. So, one of Paul's main things is when he's suffering in Romans chapter 8. When you're suffering and you don't know what you're going through, you know how you be having those stomach aches. I remember when my children had come in, Mama, my stomach hurt. My first thing I asked them, did you go to the restroom? Did you let all that gook out? So, when you're suffering, but look at it like that. When you're suffering, there's a prayer. There's a prayer for suffering. Oh God, I pray. I'm suffering so bad. I don't even know what to pray right now. I'm hurting so bad that I was talking about earlier. But that's when the Holy Spirit comes in and living with you. Because when you don't know what to pray for, the Holy Ghost does.
Yeah.
The Holy Ghost makes groans and moans that God and Jesus understand what he's saying as it relates to us in our lives. Amen? Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. And then when you get into your spirit of what you're supposed to be, what you want to pray for, first thing you also always want to pray for is you want to pray for knowledge, wisdom, understanding. In the epistles, and Paul reiterates that in James chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. He says, but if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God for it. And he'll give it to you without holding you accountable for it. He will. But you got to ask in faith. Yeah. Don't doubt. Because see, now you done messed it up. When you put doubt in there, that means you don't have no faith. You can't operate in those two realms. If you're going to pray, don't worry. If you're going to worry,
don't worry.
Just that simple. Just that simple. Amen? Yeah. Amen. Now, and then, what about this? What if you had this prayer and it never got answered? You know, like, Lord, why do I still have this thorn in my side? Why? I could be so much more effective if I didn't have this thorn in my side. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10, I got this thorn in my side. Why? Why won't you just remove it? You know why? Because if he removed that thorn in your side, you wouldn't need him. Your strength would be your own. And what he says here in chapter 12, he says, my grace is sufficient. Meaning if we abide in him and he abides in us, that is where we draw our strength from. We're drawing our strength from our Savior. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. And an extension of drawing our strength from our Savior is drawing our strength from one another. The corporate body coming together, praying for one another, and being that extension to one another. And the reason why I say that is in Romans chapter 14. See, we can't get so haughty in our praise and our prayer and our born-again believers' lives that we can't forget where we come from and forget or try to forget that we used to be babes in Christ. There are still some babes in Christ that are still in our lives, and we have to remember that. See, we're probably eating the meat now. But those in front of us or those around us, they are probably still unbuilt. Okay? But Paul reminds us and tells us, Romans chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. It says, now accept the one who is weak in faith, but not for the purpose of passing judgment on his opinions. One man has faith that may eat all things, but he who is weak eats vegetables only. See, we're strong in our faith because we're standing on it, we're confirming it, and every day we're walking in that. But it may be somebody who is weak in their faith. Don't judge him.
Yeah.
Because they don't have as much faith as you do. That doesn't make them wrong. That makes them weak. And we are supposed to pray for the weak of the infirmities. Amen?
Yeah, yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, it says, let him who eats regards with contempt him who does not eat. And let not him who does not eat judge he who eats, for God has accepted him. And then it goes on at 14 also to say, if he died for Christ, if Christ died for all man, he died for the one that's eaten and the one that's not eaten.
Amen?
Amen. Which means he died for the weak and the strong. Amen?
Amen?
Which means he died for all of us. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Amen. Because, and see, we need to understand this because the kingdom of God, in verse 17, it says, for the kingdom of God is not eating or drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who is this way serves Christ, acceptable to God and approved by man. See, that's what we're supposed to be doing. We're living for the kingdom. Amen?
Amen.
We're not living for parties. We're not living for Democrat or Republican, the green ticket, the taxpayer. We're not living for none of that. We are living for the kingdom of Christ. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. See, in Romans 14, they talk about strong believers. We're strong believers. Amen? You know how strong we are? Go to James chapter 5. It'll tell you how strong we are. James chapter 5, 13 through 16. It says, is any among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praises. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders for the church. Of the church. And let them pray over him.
Yeah.
Anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. See, that's what Peter and the early disciples did. They didn't go out on their own strength. They went in performing signs and miracles in the name of the Lord. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And it says, and the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they will forgive him. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. Now, understand something. When it says, pray, confess your sins to one another, they're not telling, I don't want to hear about your sins. I got my own that I have to account for. When they're saying, confess your sins to one another, they're talking about born-again believers, brothers and sisters of Christ. If I have wronged you, if I have wronged you, I have sinned against you. I need to confess that wrong to you and ask for forgiveness. Just as if you have wronged me, confess your sins to me. And then I will forgive you. That is what they're talking about here. They're not talking about go and confess what your sins is, what you did out there Saturday night coming in Sunday morning. They don't even want to know. That is not what James, talking about right here. Talking about wronging one another, your fellow brothers and believers in Christ. That's what they're talking about when they say confess your sins to one another. Okay? With us born-again believers, we have to remember that this tongue right here is something else. it will either speak life or death. And as born again believers, we are to speak life. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Why? The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much, which is the same as avail of much. Because if we keep our thoughts stayed on him, if we keep our minds stayed on him and what he would have us to do in this life, that's what makes our prayers, that's what makes us righteous, because we are right mind and a right standing with God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So, those prayers that we're offered up because we are being in the right standing with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, then that means it's going to move. It's going to have accomplishment. What it's going to have is going to have power. It's going to be effective and efficient. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise.
All right.
God is using us. And he's creating situations in our lives to where we can be used. Even when we don't think that we are worthy enough. Even when we don't think that we are worthy enough. Even when we don't think we are worthy enough.
Okay.
And I say that because we got to get it in our spirit and believe that.
Thank you.